Okay, so we're on Yotet tonight. So this is refresh our recollection. So we learned 20 lines from the bottom on Yotet Beis. We learned the machlok between Rav and Rav Chanina on one side, and Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Levi on the other side. The machlok it was with the Bachel Megillah Tanit. So we said Megillah Tanit was a list of Yamim Tovim that was composed during the time of Bayit Sheni. That were these were holidays when miracles occurred, and on those days you weren't allowed to fast. You weren't allowed to fast. And Rashi brings down, let's do the Rashi on this. The Rashi is on Yud Chedem and Beis, around 30 lines from the bottom. In the Rashi, about Lama Gilatad, if you're in the Gilion HaShas, Yamim Tovim Shavu Chachamim, Aydei Nisim Sherubahem. These were holidays that the Chachamim established as a result of miracles that occurred on those days. Ba'asarim B'tani, they prohibited one from fasting. V'yesh Mehen Af B'hespin, some of them are also prohibited with Levayim. And they wrote in one Megillah scroll, these are the days you're not allowed to fast. So one spot holds that now the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, so all bets are off, and now you're allowed to fast on those days. And Rav and Rav Chanina say that the Batla Megillah Tanit, Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Levi say, no, it's not batel, and indeed, one of the prohibitions are still in place. So then the Gemara adduces proof for the tzad that says batel megillah tanit. So the bride they bring is from the sugya that we did before, which is the connection. We said that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the fast days based on the pasuk in Zechariah, Soma Revi, Soma Chamishi, Soma Shvi, Soma Hasiri, Yilabi Yudelas, Soma Simcha, that these fast days will be Yamim Tovim during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And they were Yamim Tovim. But notwithstanding that, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara learned, it's Kari Luhu Tzom, the Kari Luhu Sasom V'Simcha. That the Navi describes it as a Tzom, and he also describes it as Sasom V'Simcha. It depends on the circumstance. So during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was a big Yantiv. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, now it's a Tzom. So in the same way, Rab and Rabbi Chanina say all these other Yamim Tovim during the time of Beis HaMikdash was Yantiv. Now no more Beis HaMikdash. You know, that's it. It's always Kapalish Macha, right? Okay, but anyway. So it's not anymore. Okay, and the other side holds. No, the other side holds that. That the fast, the pasuk specifically connects it to the beginning of Beit HaMikdash. The fast, the Navi says, are connected to the Beis HaMikdash, otherwise not. All right. So now the Gemara tries to bring kashas against the tzad that holds that batlam Megillah Tanit, which is basically the way we hold, but they bring kashas against it. So one kasha they brought was from a selection from Megillah Tanit. And again, Megillah Tanit, the Gemara Masechet Shabbat and Daf Gimel Beit brings down that it was written by Hanania ben Chizkiah ben Garon. If you remember, we learned from the Mishnah over there that made 18 enactments in his attic, and he wrote it. And the Gemara says that they were mechabev all the tzaras. Doesn't mean that they liked the tzaras, but they liked the fact that the Yantiv had that there was the Yantiv that Hashem saved them from the tzaras. And that Gemara was mentioned by Rabbi Arya Leibowitz today in his shir. All right, so now the Gemara brings another Bryce. So this is six lines from the bottom on the Chenom Beis. I'm just coming over from yesterday. So the Bryce says that with Lot with Tishrei, Bekelet, and Parthim, and Shtaraya, that on the third of Tishrei, the Chachamim were successful in getting people to remove the Shem Hashem from Shtaro, from like business documents. And it goes on to say that the government made a Gzeira that, in other words, in the time of the Yavanim, the Hellenists, that nobody should mention Shem Hashem and things like that. So when they were victorious, so they, the Chashmonim, established that they should mention Shem Hashem even in the Shtarot. But, and they were writing, you know, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Kel Elyon. In other words, year X, Y, and Z of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Kel Elyon. He's Kohen Gadol for and when the Chachamim looked at it, they said this is not a good idea because the Machar Zeporechovo, soon the guy is going to pay back his debt. You're writing on an IOU note, you're writing Kel Yon, and he says and the star is going to end up in the garbage, and they were vatel it. So the day that they were successful in weaning people away from mentioning the Shem Hashem and the Shtarot was it was Gimel Tishrei, third of Tishrei, and they made it a Yantif. Okay, so now we'll pick up from there, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara on Yudkhanu Beis 18b, two lines from the bottom. Bisal Kadaita Batal Megillat Tanit. If you would say now the Gemara assumes that they made it a Yantif after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. That's what the Gemara assumes. Bisal Kadaita Batal Megillat Tanit. If you assume Batal Megillat Tanit, all Yom Tovim, like you press the delete button. Delete. No more Yom Tovim Bilam Tanit. Tamai to Batal. So the early Yom Tovim or Batal. Afrin Yatam Usifin, they're adding another Yantav. If they were Batel, all these other Yom Tov, they're adding another Yantav. And Rabbi Leibowitz said to me today, he said that that according to that Tzad, that there's no Koach to create a Yantav now for all of Klal Yisrael. So he says, so that's the Kasha against Rav and Rabbi Hanina. So the Gemara says, Hatma Eskinim is a bunch of Mitzvah. No. What the Brisa means is during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. This is one of the Amtovim we had during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not a kasha. So the top line of Yitzhak and Aleph, the Tevet Leg to have a Yom Shnei Ragbo Gedalia Benachim Kam. So we don't understand. So it's during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and they're establishing Yantiv on the third of Tishrei. The third of Tishrei is already Yantiv, right? Because that's the day that Gedalia Benachim Kam was killed. And the Mela, so it's a Yantiv. That's one of the. So if that's a Yantiv, why are they adding another Yantiv to the day that already is a Yantiv? So Amarav Lunistrafo El Sor Shlofana. So Rav says the enactment was necessary because the days that are in Megillat Tanit, you're prohibited not only from fasting that day, you can't fast the day before that day and the day after that day. So with the Gedalia ben Achikam, the enactment was Yantiv, but it wasn't the day before. But now they're making a Yantiv for this din that they were B'Tehilat Itkartim Shtaraya. So now the day before is also I can't fast. So now the day before would be the second of Tishrei. You have to assume, okay, you have to assume, let's say they're observing one day of Rosh Hashanah, then they can't fast. He says, or the other way would be to say that according to the Tzad, according to some poskim, you can fast, and according to some poskim, it's a mitzvah to fast on, if you want to get that way. But before it sounds like the Tzad is they're doing one way Rosh Hashanah, one day Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Shalafan of Nami Tevikle, Devil Yom Shalafar Rosh Chodesh. So, but even the day before, why can't we say that's the day after Rosh Chodesh? Now, Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. So why the Gemara refers to Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Hashanah? I know the Ritva speaks about it. I don't have a Hezder for it. But he says that the day after Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, no, Rosh Chodesh do raitam. Rosh Chodesh is Manat Torah. That would the raitam by Chisa. In other words, there's no din that I can't pass the day after a Yantiv from the Torah. But there is a din from the Antovim that were Megillat Tanit that I can't pass the day before and the day after the Yantiv. He says, and what's the difference? Because the Torah holidays don't require any fortifications. The rabbinic ones do. The Tanya, line 5, we learn the Braisa, that these days that are written in the Megillat Tanit, meaning these Yom Tovim, Asurim Bein Lefneim Bein Lachreim. You're prohibited from fasting both the day before and the day after these holidays. Shabbatovim and Tovim, but as with respect to Shabbos and Yantiv, Heim Asurim, so I can't fast on a Shabbos, I can't fast on a Yantiv, but Lefneim Lachreim Mutar, but the day before and the day after, I am allowed to do it. My Hefresh means Zelazet. So the Tana of the Bryce says, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yantiv? Why can I fast the day before Shabbos, the day after Shabbos, and the day before Yantiv, the day after Yantiv? But these Yom Tovim, Megillat Tanit, I can't do that. So Halal Divrei Torah, Vein Divrei Torah, Striach and Chizah. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but it's saying the holidays that are Midoraisa from the Torah, they don't require any fortification. If you look at Rashi, the third narrow line, with the right Lubay Chizah, but Sword Lepanam La'achrav, Aval Yemei Megillat Tanit, Rabbanan. But the days, the holidays mentioned in the Torah are rabbinic in nature. They need to be fortified. In other words, to prevent people from fasting that day, you have to like build it up and say you can't fast the day before, the day after, and then we get everything all straightened out. Let's see back in the Gemara. Whereas these other holidays that are mentioned in the Megillat Tanit are Midibrei Sofrim, Midibrei Sofrim Srikhan Tisa. So the Gemara says, the Tepik like the Havala Yom, Shlokna Yom, So, but okay, so let's go back. So we said that they had to make the third of Tishrei Yantiv to prevent people from fasting the day before. So, but the other Yantiv is not a holiday in a Torah, right? So the Chora, that also would be a similar status to the one. I mean, this holiday Gedalia ben Achikam is mentioned in the pasuk in Zechariah, so it's not mentioned Megillat Tanit. But the Chora, I should also be prohibited in fasting the day before it. And again, one was Yantiv. So Amar Rav Ashi Gedalia ben Achikam to break up Alahu. Rav Ashi says Gedalia ben Achikam, that's a fast or Yantiv. Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means from the Nevi'im and or the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim, means based on Pesukim. The Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah Adam. The Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah, they don't require a Ketizah. Whereas the things, the Yom Tov that are mentioned in Megillas Tanis do require a Ketizah. So let's suppose we're saying. So we were asking, so according to, excuse me, according to Rav and Rabbi Chanina, so those days that were the holidays I mentioned, Megillat Tanit, that I'm not allowed to fast, it's Bakel after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. That's what Rav and Rav Chanina said. So we asked on Rav and Rav Chanina that it says they established this Yantiv when they weaned the people away from mentioning the Shem Hashem and the Shtarot. And we thought that was after the Korban Beis Hamikdash. So if it's after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, how could it be they got rid of all these other holidays and creating some new holiday? And according to the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, they don't have a koach anymore to create a whole holiday. So the person said, no, that day that's referred to, which is because Tanis is referring to a day during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So the person said, okay, it's a nice holiday, but it already is a holiday. It was a holiday already. It was that's the Som Gedalia. What do you have to create another holiday? She said, no, we need another holiday because it prevents people from fasting the day before. So I mean, that's the matter. By creating a holiday, it has that impact. That's what's going on. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but what, so why there? Why do we have this special, you know, day before, day after, and by the holidays ben Torah we don't have it?" So the Gemara says, "The holidays ben Torah don't require chizuk, don't require fortification. Things that are different sofrim do require fortification." So the Gemara says, "Well, Gedalia ben Achikam was a holiday, and that's not ben Torah. So wasn't it prohibited from fasting the day before anyway? So that during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says, no." The Gedalia ben Achikam is Divrei Kabbalah. It's based on the pasukim Zechariah. So Divrei Kabbalah are like Divrei Torah. All right, let me just say one more piece, and then I'll pause. We'll open up the floor for some discussion. Now, he quotes the Al Hadafi. I'm sorry that Daniel's not here. He mentioned this last night. He says Rabbeinu Yerucham writes that Gedalia ben Achikam was actually murdered on Rosh Hashanah, but in deference to the festival of Rosh Hashanah, the festival of Gedalia was nidcha, shifted to the third of Tishrei. Based on this, the Taz wonders whether the leniencies of a Tanit Nidcha could be applied to some Gedalia. In other words, every year. In other words, so some Gedalia, the way Rabbeinu Yerucham understands it, by definition, is a Som that's Nidcha. Every year, some Gedalia is Nidcha because it's on the third of Tishrei. But the events that it commemorates didn't happen on the third of Tishrei, when Rabbeinu Yerucham, it happened on Rosh Hashanah. So Mela, now, if it's Tanis and Nidcha, you have more Kulis on a Taz than Nidcha. So what's the story with this? So the Yad Ephraim finds difficulty with Rabbeinu Yerucham's position from our Gemara. If Gedalia was actually murdered on the first of Tishrei, then the festival and times of the second base of Mikdash should be observed on the actual date of Gedalia's death, the first of Tishrei. There's no need to shift the festival of Gedalia from Rosh Hashanah. So if indeed, in other words, this is a question against Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham maintains that Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah, and it was moved over because we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. But our Gemara says that from the get-go, it was on the third of Tishrei, because during the time of the second base of Mikdash, the Gemara learns it's on the third of Tishrei. Otherwise, then we don't have any steer, because it says that they had that other the other yantiv of, you know, Tehillat Shtaraya, that they were batta from the Shtar of Shem Hashem. So that's one question the Anachrayim has. Moreover, he points out that since during the times of the base of Mikdash, only the first day of Tishrei was observed as Rosh Hashanah, the festival should have been shifted at most to the second of Tishrei, not the third of Tishrei. So the means if the yantiv would have been shifted, Lu Yatsur, it were to be shifted anywhere, I'm not saying necessarily it should be shifted, but if it were to be shifted, it would be shifted only to the second Tishrei, not the first of Tishrei. Yeah, well, he's saying the festival, the Yantiv. So in other words, even assuming arguendo that we're not going to observe it for some reason on the same day as Rosh Hashanah, we would only move it one day, we're not going to move it 2 days. So the Minchas Chinuch answers that the Navi Zechariah, who declared the fast festival of Gedalia, did not specify which day in Tishrei the fast should be observed. It will be discussed this last night, but left it up to the Chachamim. The sages selected the third of Tishrei as an appropriate day, so it should not conflict with Rosh Hashanah. Since the third of Tishrei was the original day selected for the observance of some Gedalia, it's considered a fixed date rather than a Nidcha. So it means like this. Originally, remember, originally they could pick any day during the month of Tishrei, but then at a certain point in time, the Chachamim picked a specific date. So when the Chachamim picked a specific date, so in Achinami, we could say that originally the guy was killed on Rosh Hashanah, but when the Chachamim picked a specific date, they picked the 3rd of Tishrei. So therefore, he wants to say it's not considered a nidcha. Therefore, when some guy was transformed to a joyous occasion, the date remained the same. So in other words, when it was a yantiv, I don't know if he's saying when it was a yantiv or he's saying a fast, but the point is when they were kovei a specific date, they picked the 3rd of Tishrei, and it's not to be viewed as a nidcha. That's what he wants to say. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far?
Why do people call fast?
Which ones are you talking about? The ones that I mentioned, like Tom Gedalia, or what do you mean?
Yeah, Tom Gedalia.
Well, the Gemara said that they were Yom Tovim.
So how can the day of the assassination, the day after the assassination of Gedalia be Yom
Tovim? No. Let's go back. So let's just think this through. So after the Korban base, the first base is destroyed, then Gedalia is executed. Right? Then we build the second base of Mikdash. So now all the holidays begin Tovim. Those things that were available for us, now thank God Hashem brought us out. We're in such better shape. Now it's a yontif for us. Right, it's a yontif. Because it's like a fail or gadol. Like things were so terrible for us. Here we had the civil state, the economy was right now. Now Baruch Hashem, planet Ahara, things are 100% better. Not only will we have a state, we have a base of Mikdash. And so that which was the available is now the happy day. You know,
That speaks to the fact that it's not really Gedalia's day, but it's the day of the events. That's why it can become yontif.
What do you mean the day? It's the day that the Chachamim were kovei. If you go like this Malach from Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Minchas Chinuch and the Yad Ephraim, then it's the day that they were kovei for the yontif, or the day they're kovei for the fast. But either way.
But then why does Gedalia have his own day? Rabbi Akiva doesn't, and all these other people don't.
No. It means like this. Gedalia ben Achikam, again, after Nebuchadnezzar destroys the Beis HaMikdash, he left the Jews with no autonomy. And Gedalia was the governor of a Jewish entity in Eretz Israel, but it wasn't totally independent, but it was like a subdivision of the Babylonian Empire. And then he got killed, and the whole thing got wiped out. So even the whole autonomy, it's not just Gedalia, which is a tragedy, but the whole autonomy got down the drain. So now it's more of a churban. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. So what I'm saying is that if it's going to become a yontif, we're not bringing Gedalia back necessarily more than we're bringing anyone else back. It's because the rest of the area crumbled.
In other words, now it means like, it's like, if you want to be like the Zionist Malach, you say like, you know, we had nothing. Now we have a Jewish state. Now we have this, that, the other. You know what I mean? So it's saying that like now things are 1,000% better than they were. They're like thank God that we're not in Avelos. We're 1,000 times better than that. That's why it's the yontif.
Right. But it's not. So what? It's not just Gedalia, it's the matzav that was left.
Or the matzav that led to the death of Gedalia. Okay? All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. All right. So moving on in the Gemara. Okay, everybody ready? What? We're on Yud-Tet Amud Aleph, and we're around midway down the column. Okay? So if you see there's an asterisk, one line above it's an asterisk, the first word in line of Esrim, one line above that. Okay? So the Gemara says, Matid Rav Tuvi Bar Matna. Now, Rav Tuvi Bar Matna asks another kasha, and this kasha is again against Rav and Rabbi Chanina, who say, Bat Megillat Tanit. He says, now there's another selection from Megillat Tanit. Be'estrimu Tamania Bay, on the 28th day, it means of Adar. Atat besorta tav til Yehudoi. Good news came to the Jews. Lo yidun me'oraita. They don't have to distance themselves from the Torah. In other words, they're permitted to study Torah. Let's look at Rashi. Lo yidun me'oraita. Shlo yistarchu l'natek atzman in the Torah. They don't have to separate themselves from the Torah. So back in the Gemara, Shigazra machut gzeira. This is the Roman government made a gzeira. Shlo yasku b'Torah. The Jews shouldn't study Torah. Shlo yamul b'neim. They shouldn't give a bris to their sons. And they should desecrate the Shabbos. unfortunately, a lot of people are in conformity with much of this gezeira today. Anyway, so he says, Ma'asa Yehuda ben Shemua b'chavirav. What did Yehuda ben Shemua, he's a Tana, and his colleagues do? And Yehuda ben Shemua is living after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is going to say in a few lines that he was a Talmid of Rabbi Meir. He says, Halchu b'natlu eitza mimatronita achat. They went to a Roman noblewoman, and Shekul Gedoli Romi Mitzuyin Etzla, that all the Gedoli Romi would hang out with her. It doesn't sound like, you know, they were there to study. So the Gemara says, Amra lahem, go over hafkinu b'layla. I think you should demonstrate at night, is her Eitza. I don't know how she knows them, whatever, but she gives them this Eitza to demonstrate at night. And I saw one of the parts in the court of the Sifta that at night it make noise and make like big impact and so quiet at night. They went and they demonstrated at night. Amru, they said, like for the sake of God, lo achichem anachdu, aren't we your brothers? Meaning Yaakov and Esav are brothers. So Rome is viewed as being descendants of Esav. So aren't we your brothers? Lo b'nei avachad anachdu, aren't we the sons of one father, i.e. Yitzchak? Why are we so different than every nation? You make these terrible decrees against us. So they got rid of the decrees. That day, i.e., the 28th of Adar, they declared to be Yantiv. And this is a similar line that we said before. If you assume they deleted all these other Yom Tovim from Megillat Tanit, so all the other Yom Tovim they got rid of, and now they're adding on another Yantiv. He says, and the way that Rabbi Lieber was saying, they don't have a koach to create another Yantiv. Maybe you'll say, like we said before, that these events took place when the Beis Mitzvah was still standing, but everybody agrees that Megillat Tanit was in full force and effect. But Yehuda ben Shemua, who was indicated, you know, in this incident, he's the one, and his chavirim got the eitzah from the matronita. He says, "By Yehuda ben Shemua, you know, I was wondering, there's a Reb Lazar ben Shemua. I was wondering whether they're brothers or not. But anyway, so by Yehuda ben Shemua and somebody else, Remeir batra hachiyav. Remeir was after this point in time. Now, let me do the Rashi, and then we'll do further in the Gemara. So let's see the Rashi. Rabbi Meir batra hur ben haba. You have it. It's around midway down the narrow column of the Rashi. Remeir Bata Churban Haba, Kamadarot. Remeir lived a couple of generations after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Charav Abayit. During the time of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Lezer Tamidoya. Rabbi Lezer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva Tamidosh Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Lezer. So you have Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, then Rabbi Lezer, then Rabbi Akiva. He's a Rina B'Shilai Arvavinto. Like the Gemara mentions in the Masechet Sanhedrin, the way I recall is that Reb Lezer went to visit, that Rabbi Akiva went to visit Reb Lezer. And I remember, I think he was on his deathbed and he showed him different things with Kishav. Because Reb Meir, now, so Reb Meir, tell me, go to Rabbi Akiva. So again, so I have Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, then I have Reb Lezer, then I have Rabbi Akiva, and then I have Rabbi Meir. He demeaned him per come to Abraham. Wherever you find that somebody says the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that one Talmud said something for Rabbi Akiva means Rabbi Meir. All right, let's get back in the Gemara. So the point the Gemara is going to prove now is that Yehuda ben Shemua was Talmud of Rabbi Meir. So keep that in mind. Yeah, it was well after they said that. It says, Yehuda ben Shemua, Talmud of Rabbi Meir, batar ha'akihava. He says, Titanish, we learned the Braisa. Now again, this whole Braisa we're learning just to prove that he was a Talmud or a Meir, but we have to just explain the whole Braisa. He says, Titanya, Klezuchuk Shinikbu, Bekif Tokan Avar. Now, Rashi has two pshat, and I'll do the first pshat that he has. If I have a Klezuchuk, it is a glass vessel, and the glass vessel is Tame. So as you know, any Kli, which is Tame, if a kli is destroyed as a kli, that I can't use it in its normal purpose, then it loses its tumah. So I have a kli zechuka that was tameh, and then somebody put a hole in it, and now it's tahor. But then the heiti of the token avar, then he repairs the kli by dripping molten lead in the hole. So it's glass and it has molten lead that's back into it. Now, where Rashi takes it, if it's clay matapo, this would be the first shot in Rashi, it's on a rabbinic level. In other words, if I have a clay and then I repair the clay, let's say I have a metal clay and it breaks, and it was tame, now it breaks, now it's tahor. But then I repair the clay, so, well, guess what? On a drabbanan level, the tumor comes back. On a drabbanan level, if it's clay matapo, it comes back. So what about a glass vessel? How do we view that? So glass, normally not, but here he repaired it with avar, which is metal. He says, "Rav Shmuel Gamliel, I'm a Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Yehuda ben Shemua mitame, Yishim Rebeir." But Yehuda ben Shemua says, "The kli is tame again because the davar that's mamid, the thing that's making, you know, bringing the vessel back to life is metal." He says, "But Chachamim mitarin, the Chachamim are mitarin and say no, it's tower." That's the first shot that Rashi has. Then the second shot that Rashi has is, I have a klizukhid that was tahor, nothing, it wasn't tame before, and then it had a hole and I put avor into it. So Yehuda ben Shemua says it's susceptible to tuma doraisa. In other words, the only things that are mekabel tuma are those things that the Torah says are mekabel tuma. So it mentions different kelim. It says, you know, it says, like in Parshat Matot, it says, you know, the kelim, zav, the kesef, the koshet, the barzel. So those are mekabel tuma. And a kli cheres is mekabel tuma. But glass, the Torah doesn't say it's mekabel tuma. So according to this, Yehuda ben Shemua holds it is susceptible to tuma deraisa if it touches tuma, because everything goes after the davar mamid, after the thing that, you know, puts together. And the chamim say it's tahor on a din deraisa, but it only has a din derabanan. It gets tuma on a derabanan level. So according to the second shot in Rashi, let's go back over this. Let me read it inside and we'll do the Rashi's together. So it says, so the first shot was, so Amar Shulil, Yehuda ben Shemua, and Tame, Yishim Remeir. So the first shot, it was Tame, then it was repaired. So according to Remeir, it's like Klima Tachot, that the Tuma reverts on the Rabbana level. That's the Chami and Mitar, let's say not. That's the first way. Or the second way is that it wasn't Tame, it was a Tower vessel, but is it susceptible to Tuma? So now that I put this lead plug into it, so Yehuda ben Shemua holds it's metame, it is susceptible to tuma doraisa. And the chamim or metahir doesn't mean it means it's susceptible to tuma drabanan, according to the second shot in Rashi. Right. Okay. All right. Let me just read the Rashi inside now, and then we'll go on. Okay. Let's do it. We're on Amud Aleph. We're on six lines from the bottom in Rashi. Welcome. You mean for Tilas Kalim? That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. It's a related halacha, but it's right. So I think there's a question whether the glass does require Tila or not, right? In other words, let me look into that again. In other words, let me look back in about the halacha with the glass. Okay. So, but if you're not, if the halacha is that you don't say a bracha, then that would be the reason for it. But I need to look back into the halakha with the glass. I need to see what Mahabri says on this, okay? No, it's in Yoridea. But all right, one minute. Now, let me take a look. So, Yehuda ben Shemua Metame. So, Yehuda ben Shemua is Metame. Lamar, Shechazru L'tuma Tanishana. That it reverts back to its old tuma. The Afal Pisho Nagu Shuba Tuma. Even though it didn't touch anything Tame again, the Afal Pisho plays the Chukhid Chosun L'tuma Tan Yishana. Even though a glass vessel doesn't revert back to its tumor, the damer perakam and shabbat, so gazru chasar tumi yishana, elu klay matachod. Now, on the bottom level, they only said the thing that reverts back to tumor is a metal vessel, not a glass vessel. Hani nami hol v'habar mami do. Since the lead, it gives it its koach now as a klay, the klay matachod dami. Now it's like a metal vessel. The kol echakar mami. Everything goes after mami. So, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure you remember, right? Who remembers? We've had Davar Mamid before. Who remembers Davar Mamid? Anybody? Anyway, so by cheese, right? In Kashrut, it was like the rennet is Davar Mamid. It's like I have all this milk and I add a small amount of rennet, and now the rennet puts the cheese together. So let's say if I have a Kashrut problem with the rennet, So even though the Ranit is maybe 1% of the total, but it's a davar aman. It is one of the exceptions in halacha. It gives the whole form to everything. So the same thing here. This metal is like enabling the keli. So turn page next Rashi, top line on Yutenim base. But the chamim mitarin ikaro klais chukidhein, because the chamim hold that it was basically it's mostly a glass vessel. Lo asli batar amamid. Okay, that's the first shot. Then Rashi says in yanacher. So delete the first shot. Now we're going to shot number two in Rashi. In yanacher klais chukid tohorin shenikbu beitil tochan avar. I have a glass vessel that's tahor, and now a hole is made in it, and I plug it up with lead. Yehuda ben Shemua mitaman tuma klei matachot doraita. So Yehuda ben Shemua says it's susceptible to tuma doraita in the gabehen tuma. He says da kol echakar mamid. Everything goes after the mamid. The chachami mitarim mituma klei matachot doraita. Chachami say no, it's not subject to tuma doraita. Elam yishom tuma klei zechukid rabanan. The only things that are susceptible to tuma deraisa are the ones that are mentioned specifically in the pesukim in the chumash. You know what? I have to think for a second. In chelik beis in Yoredeya, can you look at chelik beis in Yoredeya? All right. Let me speak funds quickly, otherwise we'll move on. I think it's I'm gonna have to do this another time, all right? Getting very close, getting very warm. 1 second. All right, we're there. Simon Kufchav in your day. One second. I'm gonna have to look. Okay, so believe me, I'm gonna take a look and I'll get back to this. Okay. Oh, I have it. He says, "Oshel zechuchit." Right. Tzarich lahakpi lamba mikva. Right. So the mechaber says the glass vessel. You go below bracha. Wait. The Mechaber says that they do require the glass in the Purish requires tefillah in the mikvah. So it sounds like from the Mechaber you do require a bracha for the glass vessels. So 1 second. I have to look more into it, but Lechora, it sounds like I have to go over something with this. I have to go over, okay? But believe me, I'll get back to you, okay? Right. Yeah. So the Taz says glass has a din of klimatefe. Glass has a din of metal. That's the way the Taz understands it. Now, one second. All right, let me leave it. I'm getting too much on this digression. Okay, let me see back in the Gemara. Now, so let's see back in the Gemara. Anyway, so our main issue was, is it Batla Megillah Tanit or Lo Batla Megillah Tanit? So now we asked the Kasha against the Sad, this is Batla Megillah Tanit. So Batla Megillah Tanit, there's no koach to make a yantiv. And we see here they made a yantiv, even though Vaday was after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Kasha. That's the way it's coming along. So the Gemara says on top line on New Tenem Beis. I think the 28th Vaday, right? Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanaihi. The emes is it's a machloket tanaim, and we learned it's machloket amoraim, but there was a machloket before them on the tanaim. The tanaim we learned the brayso. Hayamim elu aktivim migilat tanit. The days that are listed migilat tanit. Beim bezman shemikdash kiyam. Beim bezman sheein ben mikdash kiyam. Asurin divrei remeir. That whether it's the time of the Beis HaMikdash or it's the time of the no Beis HaMikdash, I'm not allowed to fast on those days according to the Tanaim remeir. Not Batel Kodesh Remeir. And again, so we had Yehuda ben Shemua was a Talmud Remeir, so he's going to Shita, so that's it. So he holds it not Batel. But Rabbi Yossi Omer is Banch Mitzvah Kayama Surim Nisha Simcha Hilam. He says, no, when the Beis Mitzvah is standing, so that's a big Simcha. We think about at least Yom Tovim, and it's a Simcha for us. Ain Ben Mitzvah Kayam, but when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Mutarim, meaning you're allowed to fast on those days. Those days are already a source of Avelus. When I think about what we have, we don't have it anymore. So I'm already like in Avelus. He says, now, the Gemara says, V'hilcha tebatlu, the halacha is at the batel, V'hilcha telo batlu, the halacha is not batel. So the Gemara says, Kasha hilcha tel hilcha tel. I got a steer here. Here in one hand you're saying it's batel, and then he says, not batel, lo kasha. Kan Chanukah Purim, Kan B'Shar Yomi. There were two of the Yom Tovim that are mentioned in the Megillat Tanit is Chanukah and Purim. So Chanukah and Purim, so there we said not Batel, Gabi Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim are, you know, Yom Tovim, and we keep those Yom Tovim. But everything else is Batel. Everything else is Batel from Megillat Tanit. So the Chora, you can't add. In other words, we hold Batel Megillat Tanit except for Chanukah and Purim. All right? What? Welcome, Daniel. You missed it. I spoke about Rabbeinu Yerucham. I said, where is Daniel? I spoke about Rabbeinu Yerucham that he held that Migdal Yeh killed on Rosh Hashanah. Ah. Or when you're not here, when I need you. Okay. All right. Now, we're your 10 on the days, 8 lines from the top. Okay. Now,
Daniel, it didn't matter ultimately.
All right. Now, okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on then. Okay, nice to have you, Sal, and Aaron Moshe, and Fern, who else is here? Ruth, and Aaron Gershon, and Malka, okay? Malka, though I can't see you. And Mordechai is here, too. Okay, nice to have everybody. Okay, all right, we have a nice cover here in the shul as well. Okay, now, at the two dots on your 10 days. So, Al Elul, now we said, the Mishnah said that the Shlichim from the Bezdin would go out to notify people about the Rosh Chodesh, but not every month did they go out. The Mishnah said on 6 months they went out, so people know about the Yamin Tovim and other events. So the Mishnah said, Al Elul, the Rosh Hashanah, the Shlichim would go out after Rosh Chodesh Elul was declared, so people will know when Rosh Hashanah is. And I don't know, I didn't talk at a great length because I was running out of time last night, but it came into a machloket Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that since Elul, Lomatzinu Elul Mu'ubar, Mimot Ezra Ve'elach, and that is, so for centuries they have an Elul Mu'ubar, so they would just celebrate, that means the 30th day from Rosh Chodesh would be Rosh Hashanah. That's the one day they would do. Tosfos holds that they would do 2 days of Yom Tov. He says, Al El Rosh Hashanah, Yal Tishrei Mintens Chanamoda, and the Tishrei, the Shlichim go out, so the people know with certainty when Yom Kippur and Sukkot is. Now, the Gemara says, came into Nafki Lahu Elul, since they went out already on Elul, the Shlichim went out to tell people when Elul is, a Tishrei Lamalu, why do we have to go on Tishrei? Because they know when Elul is, and they know when Rosh Hashanah is, so that's it. We got the whole thing worked out. B'chitema Dilma Ibrul Elul. Maybe it's like this. Maybe they intercalated Elul. Maybe the Besin did not declare, you know, Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day of Elul. In other words, so maybe Elul really had 30 days, and the next day was Rosh Hashanah. He says, "V'ha'am Rav Chunda Bar Kahana Amarav Miwad Ezra Ba'elach." So Rav Chinna bar Rakan says, from time of Ezra going forward, we've never seen Elul to be intercalated. Elul is always 29 days. Since Gemara says, lo matzinu lo itzrich, he says, Gemara makes a deal from that. Yeah, we didn't see it because it was never necessary to intercalate Elul. Ha itzrich ma'brinalei. So the implication is, there is a possibility that circumstances would require us to be ma'abri Elul. So Rashi brings down, let's look at Rashi. Here's the Rashi. He says, on the sixth narrow line, Ha'itzrich, imishum yarka, imishum meitai, could come in. So the Gemara and tomorrow's daf, with Rashi and Sin's Peshat, is we don't want to have a Yontif and a Shabbos together. We don't want Yontif to fall out on a Friday. We don't want Yontif to fall out on a Sunday. If Yontif falls out on a Friday or on a Shabbat or on a Sunday, and that's the way it is Rosh Hashanah, right? Lo Adu Rosh. So then, we'll have a period of time where we can't get fresh vegetables for 2 days, and because you got to harvest the vegetables, and they didn't have refrigeration. And the dead people, I won't be able to bury the dead people, because on Shabbos, I definitely can't bury the dead person. And then on Yontif, so the first day of Yontif, so it's Yitzhaku Am, you know, the Goyim could bury it, but it's not ideal. So I don't want to have a situation like that. So they might. So the point is, if the circumstances were required, they would be ma'abur it. So Mela, that's why they did have to send out Shlithim for Tishrei, because maybe they were Ma'aber Elul. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, if they'll be Ma'aber Elul, I'm a Kalkel Rosh Hashanah. So then they're going to mess up Rosh Hashanah for the people. In other words, the people just observe Rosh Hashanah according to Rashi one day, but in other words, the day they thought it was Rosh Hashanah is not going to turn out to be Rosh Hashanah, but when they find out, it's going to be after Rosh Hashanah is over. All the Jews, in other words, wherever the Shlichim go. And there was the Shlichim go out from Yerushalayim, they head all to the communities, they get as far as they can go, to Babel, everywhere else. And they send, and so they went out from Elul, and they told them when Elul was. Now it's Rosh Hashanah, so now we're going to send the Shlichim. So the Gemara says, why do we need Shlichim? We know what it is. So it says, maybe they'll be Ma'aber Elul. So it says, if they're Ma'aber Elul, that means that Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah wasn't what we thought Rosh Hashanah was, because the Ma'aber, so Rosh Hashanah was really another day. So he says, Hamakak Rosh Hashanah. It's better that Rosh Hashanah be messed up for people and not mess up all the Antovim. He says, "Dekanami dekatani." One could deduce this from a careful reading of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Al tishrei dekatani moedo." So in the Mishnah, if on each one, it says, "Where's the Mishnah?" The Mishnah says that the shlichim go out on Nisan b'pnei Pesach. In other words, they go out because of the name. But then on Tishrei, it says Mishum Takanan Moedot. It has a different B to it. It doesn't say Mibnei Moedot. It says Takanan Moedot. It was to be Matakein that the Moedim should come out at the right time. So that's like by inference implying that it's possible that the Besdin will be Ma'aber Elul. And Tishrei Rosh Hashanah will come a day later, and now we have to set a shlichim so they get Yom Kippur and Sukkot on the right day. That's the way it would come out. Right, correct. Okay, so Shmamina. All right, any questions, comments, or thoughts? We're running out of time. Okay, let me get more going. Okay, now. So the shlichim would leave, you know, after Rosh Chodesh Kislev because of Chanukah, and there was in the Yad HaDiyoma, we're about to bench Rosh Chodesh to Shabbos. He says the Al Adar and the Purim. They would leave after Adar because of Purim. The Ilun Nitabra Hashanah Yotzen Afal Adar Sheni Bnei Purim Lo Kachani. So the Gemara says the Mishnah leaves out sort of like a pregnant absence. The Mishnah doesn't say that if there was an Ibur Shana that they intercalated the year and added another Adar. The Talmud Mishnah doesn't say that they would go out for Adar Sheni because of Purim. He doesn't mention that. He just says 6 months, but he doesn't mention anything about Adar Sheni. He says, Manitin Lo Karebi. So apparently, our Mishnah is not in conformity to the opinion of Rebbe. Tani, we learned the Braisa. Rebbe Omer, in the Abra Hashanah, Rebbe says, if the year was interpolated, they had another month, Yotzin Afal Adar Hashanah, Nea Purim, that they would go out for Adar Sheni because of Purim. So now we have machlok between our Mishnah and Rebbe, even though Rebbe was the side of the Mishnah.
our Mishnah holds that other Shani, they don't, Shlishim don't go out. And Rebbe taught in the Braisa that they do go out. So what's the source? Why do they have this machloket when they do or do not go out for the second Adar? So Lema Bahakimitzvi. Should we say the point of dispute between our Mishnah and Rebbe and the Braisa is as follows? The Mar Savar, no go to Shani, no go to Rishon. That our Tana here in the second Rosh Hashanah holds that any mitzvah that is knowing an Adar Shani, you can equally do an Adar Rishon. So Lu Yatsur, that they observe the Uladinu Purim in Adar Rishon, this year it's like a Mishnah Muberet, so we just do it Adar Samat Lanisa. But if, according to Tana, if you would celebrate Purim in the first Adar, you did Purim in Adar Yotze. So Mela, it's not crucial that I have the Shlichim tell me about Adar Shani. He says, but the only thing is, Tosfos says like this, but if they don't send Shlichim for Adar Shani, so I'm going to think it's Pesach now, right? I'm going to think it's Pesach. I'm going to be messed up with that, I would think. So Tosfos says that for the Shlichim go out of Nisan because of Pesach. So when the Shlichim don't arrive, they arrive all the time, like clockwork. When they don't arrive for Nisan, then I'll assume it was a Shana Muberet, and I won't celebrate Pesach that way. But I'll be Yotze Purim Red.
But you were supposed to have started learning the Hilchot Pesach.
That's just Purim. That's just what Yosef. So what? I'll come to this in a bit. Okay, it's not crucial. The question you're saying. Okay. Anyway, you have to answer it now. Umar Savar, Kumatzvah no go Bashini no go Brishon. Whereas Rebbe holds that if you're supposed to celebrate Purim the second Adar, you do the first Adar, that's like zero. So that's what we think. That's our working shot for the machlok between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Okay? So the Gemara, now the Gemara says, low. The Gemara rejects that. No. It could be everybody holds, scratch what we just said. It could be that everybody holds that the Mitzvah that applied to Adar Sheni, I can't do an Adar Rishon. So if that's the case, back to square one. How to explain the machlok between our Mishnah and Rebbe? Bahasa be Ibur Shana Kenitzki. The machlok between our Mishnah and Rebbe is that Ibur Shana, he says, meaning how much is the additional month that we're adding into? We'll see in a minute. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Kama Ibur Shana, Shloshim Yom. How big is the month that we're going to add on? So according to Tanya Kama, it's 30 days. Rishulil says it's 1 month, meaning we think it means 29 days. So we think right now that according to the Tana, this is the second Adar. So according to the, we think right now that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, since everybody, in other words, I know that the Shlichim didn't arrive on Nisan, so I know it's the Shana Muberet. And I know that whenever it's the Shana Muberet, it's 30 days, so it's not crucial that Shlichim go out. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Mashna Shloshim Yadi. So what's the difference? 30 days, they know it's 30 days. Chodesh Nami Yadi. According to Galil, they know it's 29 days. So how, when we're trying to explain the machlok between our Mishnah and the Braisa, so we're thinking our Mishnah goes according to the Tana Kama that it said it holds 30 days. The Braisa, which reflects Rebbe's following his father. Rav Shmuel Galil holds it 29 days. What's the difference? Either way, they know. They shouldn't have to go for either one. Amar Papa. Rav Papa explains, Manda Amar Chodesh, the second opinion, which from Gleo, which is Rebbe's father, who says a Chodesh, Ratsa Chodesh, Ratsa Shloshim. He means, if they want, they can make it 29 days. If they want, they can make it 30 days. So it comes out like this, that according to the Tan of our Mishnah, Shlichim don't have to go out, because Mela, you said it was the first month? Is that what he says? I may have made a mistake. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Yosef's right. It's the first month. Is the way the Gemara views it is the intercalated month is the first Adar, not the second Adar. I'm so sorry. So it means that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the first Adar is always going to be 30 days. So if I don't see the Shlichim showing up for Nisan, then I realize that it's a Shana Muberet, and I realize the first Adar was 30 days, and Mamela, then the next day is Rosh Chodesh. That's what I'll know. And it's when the Kaddish will be Re'iyah. Whereas according to Rebbe and the Braisa, sometimes it would be 29 days, sometimes 30 days. I don't know how it is. I have to sleep them out. Okay, that's the answer. Yeah. So it would be, I assume, when the Adam show up. In other words, the day it's always 30, that that would be like a rule of thumb they would always follow. But 29 or 30, I assume the Edom show up and they say we saw the moon last night, we'll go with that. That's what I assume. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, hey, Rabbi Yishub ben Levi, Yishub Kali, Kala, Kadish, Yerushalayim. Yishub ben Levi gave Edus in the name of Kala, Kadish, Yerushalayim. Al Shnei Adarim, Shemakashon, Tam, Biyom, Iburehen. That both Adars were Makadish, Biyom, Iburehen. Yom, Iburehen means on the 30th day. So it would mean that each Adar is Chaser. That's what would come out. Each one would be Chaser. In other words, that the first Adar, on the 30th day of the first Adar, I declare to be Rosh Chodesh. On the 30th day of the second Adar, I declare to be Rosh Chodesh. Remember the Chaserin Avdinan, Blein Lo Avdinan. So the implication of that statement is both Adars are Chaser, right? So again, so we thought a lot of Shito here. So the first Shito we saw in the Braisa was the first Adar is 30 days. Then Rabbi Shmuel says the first Adar can be 29 or 30 days. Then this statement is that both Adars are 29 days. La Pukim midadar Rav Nachman Bar Chista. This is in contradistinction to the opinion of Rav Nachman Bar Chista. And here on the side, he has the source of Shas, the Dar Rav Nachman Bar Chista. Eid Rabbi Simai Mishum Chagai Zachari Malachi. That Rabbi Simai gave Eidus. I mean, Eidus means like an accepted halacha. In the name of Chagai Zachari Malachi. Al Shnei Adarim. Shim Ratzula Astan Shnei Malayin Osin. They want to make both Malay. Both 30 days they could do it. Shneim chaser and osin. One of both chaser, they could do that. Echad mali v'chad chaser osin. They could do one mali, one chaser. So it says v'kachi noagim begola, and that's the way they did it in Galus. U'mishum Rabbeinu Amroom, in the name of Rabbeinu, and Rashi says it means Rab. He said liolam echad mali v'chad chaser. That the default is always one is mali and one is chaser. Adchi b'dol chashuk rosh chodesh bezmano, unless you know with certainty that Rosh Chodesh was declared Bismano. He says, Rashi brings it down. In other words, if you don't hear, that's what you have to assume. And then 10 lines from the bottom, Rashi, unless they tell you the first one is Chaser, this is the way you should assume that one is Mali and one is Chaser. Okay, let me go on to the next piece and then we'll try to come back to something you were raising before. Okay, Shachula the Mar Ukva, they sent to Mar Ukva. Adar Hasimuch LeNisan LeOlam Chaser. They said that the Adar, which is near Nisan, which would be the second Adar in Hashanah Luberin, is always Chaser. Mafti Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asked the Kasha from the Bryce later on. Al Shnei Chodeshim Mechalin HaShabbat, that for 2 months were Mechal Shabbos, Al Nisan VeAl Tishrei. Meaning the Edim have to come and give testimony, and the Edim may have to leave the Tchum Shabbos in order to give the testimony. But the Edom of a Hefer believes from Shabbos, even though it would be a violation of a Dindra Rabbanon, or it could even be a Deraisa, according to the Tzad, that holds that Pumin more than Yubay's Mill or Deraisa, but I don't know if they go Yubay's Mill. But he says, Al Shnei Chashim HaKal in the Shabbat, Al Nisim Yal Tishrei. He Amir B'Shleim as in Malay Zim Chaser Mishum Hathim HaKal Linan. If I say sometimes they're Malay, sometimes they're Chaser, so I understand why the Edom has to be Chal Shabbos, because they come and they do the mitzvah and tell the Bezdin, because otherwise they don't know what's coming off. If you want, we have a Gemara. Why don't you take a Gemara here, Robert? Okay, so he says, okay, the top line of Chafam and Aleph, Elo, the Amrit, the Olam Chaser, but if I assume that Adar is always Chaser, which is what we said, the Adar Simuch LeNisan is always Chaser, so then I know when Nisan is, Amai Mechal Linam. Why would the Bryce say that it could be Mechal Shabbos to come and testify when Rosh Chodesh is? If I know that Adar is always Chaser, so I know that Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh anyway. So the Gemara says, "Mishum the mitzvah l'kaddish al ri'ah," because it's a mitzvah, the kaddish based on the Edom. In Achinami, I know it's chaser. I know that this is going to be Rosh Chodesh. But if I can, the best thing can be kaddish al ri'ah, that's a mitzvah. Now, the only thing you can ask, right? So the Gemara is going to ask that question, but you're going to do that tomorrow. But I'm not going to be here. But the Gemara is going to ask it. Now, let me just come into a point very quickly. So earlier, I said that with Nisan. We were saying that the people will assume that they'll know when Adar is, and according to the time of our mission, they don't have to send Shluchim out because they know how many days Adar will have. Adar has, according to the Brisa, it has 30 days. It always has 30 days. So then Tosfos asks, but how are they going to know when, like Pesach? Like, aren't they going to think Pesach's in the wrong time? How are they going to bear it? Tosfos says, let's see the shlichim goes off in Nisan, let's know it's Hashanah will bear it. So, so then you, yeah, so you have to say, you have to say that it must be that the learning, I guess, in Yerushalayim. It can't be that, like a learning, like, you know, 300 miles away from Yerushalayim. I don't know what else to say to that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let me just do a story or a Sue. Let me see what I have in my sheets, and then that'll be it. One minute. Okay, here's the whole thing about the Brit Kabbalah. And this story, there's a story here, but Michael never likes the story, so I think we're going to leave the story. Okay, that'll be it. Let me end the recording.
What?
One second.